Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I want to quickly just give a brief exhortation. And I didn't plan the meeting to go like this, but it is what it is. Amen. So, but please don't miss the meeting on Friday night. I'll be leading that prayer meeting, and by the grace of God, we're going to pray too. Amen. We're going to pray through. Praise God. Now, let me read Psalms chapter 11. Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3. Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Now look at that scripture, popular scripture. He said, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? God did not commit the solution of fixing foundations to unbelievers. God did not commit the task of redemption of faulty foundations to the enemy. He said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? God is saying that the burden of restoration in your family, the burden of restoration in your life, it falls to you because you are the righteousness of God. The scripture said that this is the heritage of the righteousness of them that are righteous in God. The same scripture was saying that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you, he said, shall be condemned. So this is the heritage of them that are righteous in God. Listen to me. The solution to what you are looking at is planted in the revelation of righteousness. The reason why many of us struggle, especially in the area of our deliverance, is because there seems to be a disconnect between what God is doing in our life and what the enemy, what we perceive that the enemy is doing. Look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to read verse 7. It said, unto you therefore, which believe, it is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stones which the builders disallow, the same has become the head of the corner. Listen to me, when I speak of righteousness, I speak about that which Christ represents, that which he has done, that which is settled. When he hung on that cross, it took away every cause, it took away every pain, it took away every delay, it took away every premature death. Every problem you think you would have experienced in your life, the moment that he died on the cross and rose again, he took everything away. You see, but that scripture was saying, he said that it is unto us that believe that he is precious. You see, your perspective to divine realities is very key to what you are permitted to enjoy in God. He said, unto you that believe he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, that same stone has been disallowed. And he said, look, he said this same stone is now the head of the corner. It's called the cornerstone. Everything around the building, around the structure, rests on the cornerstone. Hallelujah. So it is important to place your freedom, not just on what somebody says, but on the revelation of God's word. God's word about who you are. God's word about what he has said about you. That is very fundamental. This knowledge is what delivers you, so that when we are done this year, you won't go back to certain things again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to me. The word of God said to us, he said, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tears. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tears. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The enemy draws his greatest weapon in the shadows. The enemy shoots the most dangerous weapons in the night. When men are weak, when men are asleep, the enemy pulls the trigger. Many of you, some of you who are connected right now, you will know what I'm talking about. You will know that you are slept at some point and you woke up and things just started happening. Okay? Things just started happening. Every time you see an attack against you, that attack didn't come that day you saw it. The day you saw it was the day it landed at your doorstep. You see? So the Bible says that when men slept, the good Lord sowed a good seed. But while men slept, the enemy came. God did not stop the enemy. God did not stop the enemy. God did not stop the enemy. If you had not slept, the enemy would not have had capacity to jump in. If the watchman is awake, the thief will not be able to come into his compound. So many of the things that we struggle with are just pointers of carelessness. Wrong decisions making, emotional decisions over destiny decisions. And tonight I declare there's deliverance. Tonight I declare there's freedom. For everyone who made an emotional decision, and that decision is haunting you, that decision is working against you now, in the name of Jesus, I release deliverance. In the name that is above every other name, I release deliverance. In the name that is above every other name, I release deliverance. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, nothing clouds revelation like emotions. Nothing makes a man's life more difficult than when he builds his life or his future on something that is fleeting and temporal. God does not look at the temporal, he always looks at the final analysis of the matter. Hallelujah. In the book of Ecclesiastes and the last chapter, I say this is the sum of the matter. I say, fear God. This is the sum of the matter. God always looks at the sum of the matter. God always looks at the sum of the matter. The Lord will permit you to go through some challenges now so that the nature of Christ will be fully formed in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, like I shared with you, I said the enemy does not do anything in the light. He loves the dark. And you see that in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 25. So the word dark there is not just talking about when you see the moon outside. No. I'm talking about where there's ignorance. Every time there's ignorance. Every time there's ignorance, when you don't know what to do. Every time that you are stuck in a particular situation and the enemy is telling you, don't discuss with anybody. The enemy tries to confuse you and tells you, no, you can make this decision on your own. Listen to me. If you are sick, there's a way you begin to feel, you know you need to see the doctor. There's a way you begin to feel some sensations in your body, you begin to say, you know, I need to see the doctor very quickly. In the same way, you see, God has provided prophets. He has given us the fivefold ministry for our benefit. He has given you fivefold ministry for your benefit. When you get to the doctor, when you go to the hospital, you don't tell the doctor what you do. You only tell him what is going on in your body. And then he begins to run some tests. Listen to me. God has empowered his prophets. God has empowered his servants for your sake. For your sake. For your sake. For your sake. The scripture says in the book of Isaiah chapter 44. He said he honors the counsel of his messengers. As many of you that are looking at me now, you can hear my voice. I declare the counsel of God coming into full manifestation in your life. I declare the counsel of the Lord coming into full manifestation in your life. I declare the counsel of the Lord coming into full manifestation in your life. There will be no halfway testimonies anymore. You will not have halfway testimonies anymore. You will not have halfway. Your testimony will be complete to the glory of God. Your testimony will come forth with a new song. Your testimonies will come forth with a new song. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. One of the greatest ways to keep your miracle, to live in the newness of your breakthrough, is to be a mountain dweller. Is to be a mountain dweller. A mountain dweller is like an eagle. A mountain dweller is like an eagle. It goes to the top, the peak of a mountain, and it stays there. From that point, he looks at every situation from the point at the peak of the mountain, he has a better view. He has a better opinion. He has foresight. If the eagle stays at the foot of the mountain, there are things he will not see. But in the name of Jesus Christ, you are stepping into the mountain. In the name of Jesus, you are getting to the peak of the mountain. Your eyes will become open. Your ears will become open. You begin to see manifestations of the Spirit. Everything that was hidden to you from your family will become revealed. Whatever causes premature death, whatever causes premature sickness, people begin to have terminal sicknesses in the family. Everything bringing cancer to people's body, diabetes in your family. Oh, rapakadelia, cataract, loss of hearing. Everything bringing heart conditions. Maybe there are people in your family, they develop heart conditions. In the name of Jesus, that curse is over. That curse is over. That curse is broken. And because you are in this meeting tonight, you become the bringer of deliverance to your family. There are people here, no matter how much they try, no matter how much they labor, the husbands they marry will reject them and go for someone lesser. There are people here, no matter what they do, even if they have $1 million, the woman will leave the house and follow a poorer person. I declare that curse is broken. That curse that makes a man's testimony not to be full. That curse that makes a man's testimony to be cut short in the midst of it. In the name of Jesus, we reverse it now. And I declare you are healed in your body. I declare you are healed in your mind. You are healed in your soul. Every sickness you saw in your parents' life, you will not carry it over. Your children will not inherit it from you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak the word of healing. And I speak the word of deliverance to go into the atmosphere. You will not continue a negative pattern of being of having separated families. You will not be divorced. You will not go to court asking for a divorce. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy every battle against your marriage, every battle against your family, that battle ends tonight. In the name of Jesus, that battle ends tonight. In the name of Jesus, every contention for the peace of your home. Every contention for the peace of your home. Every contention for the peace of your family. There are people here, and you are listening to me now. No matter how much you like a person, no matter how much the person shows interest, the person will suddenly lose interest. Listen to me. An enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. The day Adam saw his wife, he knew that woman was going to be married to him. Listen to me. Whatever is causing disaffection, whatever covering is cast over your face, making you to experience shame and disappointment, tonight, in the name of Jesus, we reverse it. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, we reverse it. As many of you that are trusting God to be married by this time next year, now receive it. In the name of Jesus, as many of you that are trusting God to be married before this time next year, when we gather again like this, in the name of Jesus, receive it. In the name of Jesus, receive it. If your amen is sound, you are the one I'm praying for. If your amen is sound, you are the one I'm praying for. If your amen is sound, you are the one I'm praying for. In the name of Jesus. Now declare I receive it. Now declare I receive it. Now declare I receive it. In the name of Jesus. Benefits of being a mountain dweller. Number one, you will see his face always. You will see his face always. People who stay on their watchtower. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He said, I will stand upon my watch to see what he will say to me. Glory to God. Those who dwell in the mountains, they always behold the face of God. Number two, when you are a mountain dweller, you become stronger than your enemies. You become stronger than your enemies. That's the second point. When you begin to spend more time with God, oh, by virtue of being around him, by virtue of being alone with him always, like Elijah, you can say the Lord God before whom I stand. You become stronger than your enemies. Because why? You are at the top of the mountain. You have the advantage of height. You are at the top of the mountain. You have the advantage of sight. Somebody is catching it now. Yes, yes, yes. Somebody just got a healing in his body. Check your body now. Check your bodies now. Somebody just got healed now. Hallelujah. You have the advantage of sight. You have the advantage of height. Whoever is trying to come after you, we have to climb the mountain, and that gives you an advantage over that person. You become very prophetic. You become very sharp in your predictions. You are able to see trouble from afar. You become stronger than your enemies. Number three, when a man becomes a mountain dweller, his appetite becomes fine-tuned to desire God alone. His appetite becomes fine-tuned to desire more of God. When Moses got on the mountain, maybe he didn't plan to spend 40 days, but when he got on the mountain, he stayed there for 40 days and he didn't even eat. There's a kind of encounter you will have with God in this meeting. As we begin today, the 21st day of this fasting, and the fasting officially ends today, except for those of you who want to take it further. He said, on the final day, Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Listen to me, my brother. Listen to me, my sister. When you really stay with God, one of the signs you will see is that your desire for him will increase. Your desire for him will multiply. I declare that is your testimony in the name of Jesus. That thing that causes your fire to always die out. That thing that causes your fervency to fade off. That thing that causes your desire for fellowship to vanish. Tonight will send the word of the Lord in that direction. Now become revived in your spirit. Be revived in your spirit with unquenchable fire, with unquenchable thirst, with unquenchable passion, with unquenchable desire for the things of the Spirit, for the presence of the Lord. Become saturated with a fresh desire for God. Become saturated with the desire to be with Him. Become saturated, oh my God, above the desires of the flesh. You will begin to desire the things of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Now, when you are a mountain dweller, your giftings begin to develop at a faster pace. Listen to me, and let me say this. Maybe I'll come some other time and I will redeem it. One of the things I've observed is that when you fast a lot, and I've seen this in my life personally, fasting amplifies the ability that God has given to you. There are people that are creative writers. There are people that are artists. There are people that are singers. Before they go to the studio, they spend some time fasting. By the time they begin to sing or they begin to paint or draw, they operate at a higher level, at a higher frequency in the spirit. I have noticed this personally, even for people who operate in certain anointings. For people who operate under the prophetic anointing, signs, miracles, and wonders, even the teaching anointing, there is something about waiting on the Lord. There is something about separating yourself unto the Lord. It makes the power of utterance to flow. It makes the ability to see instant miracles to begin to flow. If you ask anybody, go and read the Bible, whether it's Moses, whether it's Elijah, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Daniel, everyone who operated the power ministry, go and check them. They were men of the secret place. They were men of fastings. They were men of prayer. When Paul had an encounter with the Lord, he started his Christian journey fasting and praying. Glory to God. He started, the Lord appeared to Ananias and said, he is praying now and he has seen me in a vision. He has seen a vision coming to lay hands on him. And that was when Ananias went and he laid hands on Paul and he baptized him. Listen to me. Your giftings, every gift of God that is in your spirit. Some of you have very powerful intercessory gift. Some of you have very powerful prophetic gift. Some of you, the enemy has put you in a tight corner. Your anointing, your gift is being suffocated. But wherever you are now in the name of Jesus, let the power of God come upon you. Let the power of God come upon you. Let the power of God come upon you. There are some of you listening to me. God has anointed you with wealth. That's your anointing. You don't have anointing to preach. You don't have anointing to do any special thing. But God has anointed that whatever you touch becomes good. But the enemy has also raised a contention against you, that you are always having one problem to deal with or the other. In the name of Jesus, I command the power of the enemy to be silent. I command the power of the enemy to be cut short. Everyone that is experiencing devourers in their finances, everyone experiencing devourers in their life, in the name of Jesus, I release the word of God in that direction. In the name of Jesus. Number 5, when a man is on the mountain, he begins to know things before they happen. When a man is a mountain dweller, he begins to know things before they happen. Hallelujah. Now, let me say something about foundations. If a foundation is not only in terms of your spiritual life. For instance, there are so many things that can affect a man's foundation that may not even be the devil. One of it is poor decisions. When a man makes a poor decision, let's say, for instance, a poor career decision, That is not just prayer. You need wisdom. That is not just prayer. You need wisdom. Hallelujah. What prayer does many times is to provide the revelation. You get revelation about what is going on and what you need to do. Listen to me. If God has revealed the situation you are going through to you, or maybe something going on in your family, it is not enough for you to say, I have seen it. You must know what the solution is. A lot of people can see the problem, but they are too lazy to see the solution. Are you with me now? So what prayer does many times is to provide revelation about the situation and what needs to be done. And listen to me, it is not only in prayers. The Word of God can provide guidance. The Word of God can provide guidance. Somebody came to me some time ago and said, Pastor, I found someone I want to get married to, and that I would like to pray. I would like you to pray. And I said, sorry, I don't do that anymore, because I'm not the one getting married. And I said, have you prayed about it? I prayed about it, but I'm not sure. I said, I'm sorry. Now, I said that to that particular person because I knew the person was not willing to take responsibility for a decision. It was somebody in the garden that said, it was the woman you gave me. But when the woman was doing well, he didn't complain. But when the woman misbehaved, he said, it was the woman you gave me. The woman is not always the problem. Most of the problems in families today are caused by men. It's just that we demonize the women. But the women are not so bad. At least the woman admitted to her husband in the garden that this is what she did. Many men are carrying secrets about. Many men have secrets. There are men that have children outside and their wives don't know. There are men who are doing abortions every day and they are in church and nobody knows. So nobody should just blame the women. You got to look inward first. Okay? So you need to be able to look at the situation at hand. What was the primary cause of this particular problem? Before you begin to shout, and that's why people pray and fast, and sometimes it looks like God is not listening, because the problem, the solution to that problem is not a prayer matter. There are people that say, they pray, they fast, nothing is happening. Maybe you just need to change your attitude. This particular person was pressing me and say, Pastor, I want you to say something. And suddenly I just turned to this wonderful person, I said, look, the person you have presented here today, that you are asking that maybe it's your husband or not, the person drinks, I see the person with a bottle of Gouda. And she said, he drinks, but he doesn't get drunk. And I said, why are you trying to test the Holy Spirit? There was a man in the book of Acts that tested the Holy Spirit. He went to Peter with money and he didn't come out alive. I said, you know this guy is not born again. You know this guy takes alcohol and lives is a life that is not commensurate with our life in the kingdom. And you came to me and you asked me to pray. Peradventure, maybe God will say yes. Then you will go back and say, Pastor Benga told me it's God's will. I told the person, get out of here now. And the person walked out. So you see that if that person had married that other fellow, then maybe 5 years from now, they'll be having problems. And then the person will begin to call and will begin to run up and down. Your decisions can affect your foundation. It is not always the devil. Many times the enemy will come against you, then he will encourage you to make a decision to ratify and approve what they have done against you. So you see somebody that has been waiting on the Lord for a husband, somebody that has been praying and fasting, and God kept telling that person, I have answered your prayer, and then the person goes out and meets someone who is not born again, but who goes to church, but is not born again. Somebody who you look at his set of friends, and there's nothing to write about, there's nothing godly about them. Your husband or your wife is not better off than a company. When you see the kind of company that your wife is keeping, that is your wife. Even though she may look decent, but birds of the same feather will always flock together, and vice versa. So when that kind of a foundation is destroyed, most times people cry foul. Something happened to my husband. He doesn't want to go to church. But we need to ask you, where did you meet your husband? You met him in a club. If you met your husband in a club, why are you shouting? There are decisions we make that even when we pray, what God will do is to guide us around what we need to do. There are some people that will never change. There are some people that will never change. You will be using your anointing to manage the crisis, so as not to get there. Every time a man is close to his destiny, the devil will begin to throw all kinds of things. You that have insisted you cannot compromise, you cannot marry this kind of person, you cannot marry that kind of person, you will start compromising. And you will be speaking in tongues, but you will be compromising. Hallelujah. Don't allow the devil to capitalize on you, to destroy you, and don't allow the devil to tamper with your foundation. Don't allow the devil to tamper with your foundation. There are some of you now, God has given you a glorious destiny. God wants to do something major, and the Lord is saying to you, begin to pray every night. The moment God tells you begin to pray every night, it is no more a suggestion. It is an instruction. And I want you to know that the moment the prophetic word comes, the Bible said, affliction shall arise for the word's sake. Which means that is the period you will start feeling sleepy. The moment God says begin to pray at night, that is when you begin to feel sleepy. So don't say it's an idea. God doesn't give ideas. God gives instructions. Glory to God. God gives instructions. Don't allow the enemy to capitalize on your destiny. Don't let Satan tamper with your foundation. Poor decision making can tamper with your foundation. Ignorance can tamper with your foundation. Many do not realize that their life is a complete whole, and that decision made at a particular level can affect one's destiny. You may be very anointed, but if you are making poor decisions maritally, if you are making poor decisions in terms of the kind of friends you keep, if you are making poor decisions in terms of how you spend your money, it can affect the whole of your destiny. There are people that will never pay tithes, but they don't see anything wrong in giving policeman 10,000 if the policeman arrests them by the wayside, but they will never pay tithes. There are people that go to the hospital. Maybe you took somebody to the hospital and they say, our government hospital, they will tell you, oh, there's no space. You give the nurse or the or doctor, somebody there, 10,000 to help you get the bed space because you don't want your loved one to die. There's no problem with that. But the word of God is very clear about how your money should be spent. Whether it's as a believer, as a minister of the gospel, God has told us how he wants his money, the money he puts in your hand to be spent. But there are people that will question that, but they don't have a problem giving money to somebody somewhere, you know, so that they don't take you to court or something. These are issues that you sometimes will commonize, and you don't know that in the spiritual, there's no difference between your spiritual life and your secular life. Your life is a complete whole. There are poor decisions you make now that can affect your destiny. Number two, there are a lot of things about your destiny depends on prayer. But not every item prayed about will be manifested without wisdom. A lot of things about your life. I mean, there was a time we had a service in church where we talked about talked about to set up your professional LinkedIn account and how to write proposals and some of these other things. And there were a lot of people there. People watched online. Some people up till now have not gone to their LinkedIn account to adjust anything. People study engineering, people study physics, people study accounting, people don't take responsibility for anything. They just want God to do it. And then people go for interview and they embarrass themselves. Now, the question is that if you are the employer, will you employ someone like you? Something as easy as go and create a LinkedIn account. Somebody refused to do it and the person is saying, I don't have a job. When people of your age are already having something more than that first degree. So if you make a poor decision, you just want to say, and God did it. What God cannot do does not exist. Who told you that? Who told you that what God cannot do does not exist? Who told you? God does not help fools. There was a rich fool in the Bible and God killed him. As you leave this mountain, at the end of this month, leave with clear instructions. We have prayed, we have fasted. There are people that on this mountain, that I have prayed for. There are people that came to me, Pastor, we are homeless. God did it for them in this mountain. They have nowhere to go. God did it for them in this mountain. And the person refused to share a testimony. And after so much pressure by some other person, he used a text message to share the testimony. Was it a text message they used to pray for you? You see what I'm saying now? So when we say some of these things, it's just like going to the hospital and the doctor was able to help you, gave you preferential treatment, and after your child was discharged from the hospital, you never called the doctor to say, I thank you. You never called the doctor to appreciate him. Then another day, somebody got sick, and then you are now shouting that the doctor is not picking your call. If the devil was at your doorstep, and for those who think God is not partial, you need to hear this one. If the devil was at your doorstep, and God preserved you, and you didn't go back to say thank you, like the nine other wonderful people. They didn't go back. It was only the man who came back that became old. God is not partial. It's just what it is. You want a miracle, you call the pastor, he prays, you get the miracle, and you use text message to respond. So those are spiritual indisciplines. Don't be found there. Don't be found there. He said, those are the. So if some people say, the pastor is not picking call, and so what? The last miracle you got, what happened to it? You went to buy a bottle of Gouda. So these are things that people do that doesn't really make sense. And I just wonder if this thing is actually not a spiritual attack. There are other things that can affect a man's foundation. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8, the Bible says, do not remove the ancient landmark. Do not remove the ancient landmark. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8. Do not remove the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. In the name of being woke, in the name of being trendy, some of us, we have gone beyond the level of morality and we have begun to embrace spiritual prostitution. There are people that are born again. When you see them today, they don't remind you of being a Christian. They remind you of being a prostitute. And I'm talking about both guys and ladies. If it's the same Holy Spirit that Peter had, that Paul had, that Catherine Kuhlman had, that Benny Hinn had, that Bishop Edebo had, that Pastor Edebo had, listen to me, the Holy Spirit will not change because of you. If you have the Holy Ghost, you can't do what you like. Except it's not a mad person will behave mad because of the spirit in him. If you still find excuse for being inappropriate and you tell us that it is the heart that matters, you have told us that even in your spirit you are exposed. Do not remove the ancient landmark. Let your moderation be known to many. Many have said, Pastor, I don't know why I'm always attracting people like this. Check yourself. It's not every time it's the devil. Some things can be sorted with wisdom. Do not remove the ancient landmark. Do not remove the ancient landmark. The landmarks of praying. The landmarks of waiting on the Lord. The landmark of knowing the word of God for yourself. There are people that don't go to church. They only go for special program. You have no spiritual covering. Come on, say I hear that one. There are people that don't go to church. They only go for special program. You have no spiritual covering. Because the commitment of God is to his local church. He said to the angel of the Ephesus, right? To the angel of Pergamos, right? To the angel of Thyatira. He said to the angel over the house, over the church of Philadelphia, right? Where did you see the angel of a special program? If you are not, and listen to me, you become part of a local assembly by being part of what they do. By being committed there. By serving there, by doing everything that they do that is significant with that family. That is how you say you are a member of the family. Not that you attend somewhere they have 2,000 members and you just conclude that you are a member. You better ask. Just the same way you can have an account in First Bank and you get a loan in GT Bank. That is the same way spiritual covering works. So do not remove the ancient landmark. There are some things that don't change. God is committed to the local church. There are people that are not in Nigeria now, but they are even better members of the church than people who are in Nigeria. Because when we say fast, they fast. When we say pray, they pray. Some people have said, I have ulcer. People have been getting healed.
Somebody is still saying, I have ulcer. That's why I did not fast. Then they come after the prayer and fast and say, Pastor, pray fire, pray fire. Every fire now, I am releasing it here. So you have to catch your own as it's coming. Number four, there are things that can affect a man's destiny or a man's foundation, but those things will not happen if he has understanding. There's a place of understanding in redeeming a man's destiny, in fixing foundations. You cannot address a foundational problem in a building, in a property, without understanding what went wrong. Understanding is key. For your prayers to be effective, wisdom must be crowned as king in your life. The wisdom of God must be crowned as king in your life. For your prayers to be effective, wisdom must be crowned as king in your life. How do you know foolishness in a man's life? If you see a man that is foolish, how do you know that kind of man? Number one, foolishness in a man's life, the man will be rebellious to God's ordinance. The man will be rebellious to God's ordinance. He will pick the part of the Bible he likes, and he will leave the part he does not like. How to identify a man with foolishness in his heart? He will be rebellious to God's ordinance. Number two, such a man will expect God to shift grounds for him. That such a man will be looking for. Let me tell you a story. There was a woman that came to our church a few months ago, and she said, Pastor, my son has mental issues for about 35 years. My son is, practically what she says, my son is mentally unstable. And I looked at the woman, and the Lord said to me, this woman knows something about the problem the boy is going through. You know, sometimes when we say something, people just go, maybe these people are just trying to be difficult. Most of these things, it's just that we cannot be sharing all the testimonies, you know, because of how sensitive they are. But this is somebody that came to the church and said, my son is having mental issues, and the Lord was telling me she knows something about that case. So I told the woman, I come to your house. And I got to the house 3 weeks after. And I said, where is the boy? And she brought the boy. And I said, Madam, your son will fast for 7 days and break every evening. On the 7th day, which is a Sunday, come to the church. I will anoint your son and your son will be free. And she said, oh, Pastor, my son will do the fasting. I will ensure he fasts. I said, Madam, calm down. You will also fast with him. And the moment I said you will join the fast, her countenance fell. She became unhappy. She became unhappy because that meant she will also have to be praying and fasting for 7 days. But she loved to eat. She loves pounded yam early in the morning with ewedu and egbegiri. She likes amala. She likes all those things. But her son, she prefers to be going from program to program asking for deliverance. Yet she cannot fast for her own son. So people want God to shift ground for them. It's not going to work. That's how you know. Since that day, I have not seen the woman call my number anymore to say, we have done the fasting, can we come? Do not allow the devil to deceive you to think that God will shift ground for you. You must understand the ordinance of God and stay there. Number three, foolishness in the heart of a man. How do you know it? You replace obedience with attending special program. If you attend a special program, and they give you instructions and you don't follow it, it doesn't make any difference. Number four, there are people that are angry at God because their friend got married and they are not married. Or because they have children and they are not. It's not, and I got to be honest with you, it's not everybody that will have a child. Some people we have to adopt. Some people we have to adopt. I know it's just a cultural thing in Nigeria or in Africa, but that's just the truth. But God wants everybody to have a child. But if you've prayed, if you've fasted, if you've done everything you needed to do, go and adopt a child. So people become angry at God. There was one man that was angry at Jesus. The man didn't survive it. His name was John the Baptist. He became angry at God and sent somebody to go and tell him, are you the Messiah we are expecting? It was that period they killed him. Just because you are anointed doesn't give you the right to be angry at God. You are too small to be angry at God simply because you've not gotten the promotion, simply because you've not married, simply because you've not bought your car. Signs of foolishness in the heart of a man is to break away from Christian fellowship with reasonable excuse. Excuse like, I worked all through the week and I'm tired. Excuse like, I will join online, when you can actually take a bus and go there. There are people that when they were so poor and they were so broke, they were the first to get to church. Now they have good reasons for reason why they can come late. Or I put those who come late and those who don't come in the same level. Another point. A foolishness in the heart of a man is seen when a man does not prioritize God's word. There are people that believe the doctor's report more than God's word. Look at the particular testimony I shared with you. The lady in question is a medical personnel. Yet she is not pregnant. But after one prayer, she got pregnant. There are people that they take other people's report because somebody said you are not attractive. They believe that one over God's word that says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So it is a sign of foolishness. Another sign of foolishness is when you make friends with ungodly people. There are people that if they count two of their friends, two closest friends, none of them are Christians. It is a sign of foolishness because your destiny will not be far away from the kind of company you keep. Now, in the name of Jesus, I got to stop here because my time is up. I want you to listen to this. And let me tell you where this message is coming from. I have been in meetings, 3 days, 7 days, extended meetings, and people got blessed. People get blessed, and at the end of the day, they can't find the miracles. I don't want your situation to be like that. Let me tell you something. We pay very terrible prices to tell you some of the things we tell you. Last week, Friday, I asked those of you who needed prayers to join me online. And I want you to hear this. This is actually a testimony. I asked you guys to join me online so I could pray for you. And I was praying for people. That was the day it rained heavily in Lagos. I didn't have light in my house. I was running on inverter. And all of a sudden, I was wearing my headset. All of a sudden, there was a thunder and lightning strike that passed through my house, electrocuted me while I was praying for people. Electrocuted me. Now, for you to understand how dangerous that particular thunderstorm was, it destroyed the, it totally shut down the transformer in my estate. It messed up almost every electrical gadget in my house. Up to now, as I'm talking to you, it was just a few minutes ago, since last week, that they were finally able to fix that transformer. And I can't tell you how much we have spent trying to fix do the rewiring, trying to buy things and do all of that. But I kept asking God, why would I be in a meeting praying for people and there was a thunderstorm and it passed through my ears? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying now. The thunderstorm struck, passed through my ears. That thunderstorm was amplified like 100 times inside my head. I was electrocuted. I removed the headset. My laptop was damaged. The power pack was damaged. So many things were spoiled. All the 3 new fans, everything was damaged. Listen to me. It was not until 2 days ago, that the Lord told me. He said, I protected you in mercy. He said, and the reason why you were protected is because when that thing happened, you were on your knees praying. So I released my mercy. You covered you as you are praying for others. That's why the transformer that the power surge that could shut down a transformer that spoil the freezer, shut down the electricity of the whole estate, passed through your body and nothing happened to you. So when I tell you some of these things, prayer will save your life. The wisdom of God will save your life. Listen to me. The person talking to you now is a living testimony. Because I kept asking. The Lord said that thunderstorm met you praying for people. That is why you are preserved. Listen to me. There is no excuse. So if I just think you can play with God and relate with him when you like, you don't understand what we are talking about. And I wish somebody will understand what we are saying here. That you are a pastor. Doesn't exempt you from giving glory to God. The problem God had with Nebuchadnezzar was that Nebuchadnezzar was full of himself. He never gave glory to God for anything. And God turned him to an animal. The moment that madness left him, the first thing Nebuchadnezzar did was to become a praise and worship leader. Please, we are going to put the email on the chat group. We are going to put it on the Telegram group. Send your testimonies. Let's give glory to God. Send your testimonies. I'm a living witness. People who didn't experience a thunderstorm, a lightning strike, many, they didn't have to, they were dead. They were dead. But God preserved my life in His mercy. So I give Him all the glory. So when I tell you, please go and listen to this message, download it, and listen to it. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, everyone that has been marked by the enemy, that you will not see the end of this year. Today, in the name of Jesus, we reverse it. Everyone that has been marked by the enemy, that you will not see that prophecy, you will not see the fulfillment of the power of God in your life. Every word, every satanic word hanging over your life, that you will not live long, that you will be cut short in the midst of your years. In the name of Jesus, and by the mercy of God, we bring you out. In the name of Jesus, we bring you out. You will not die before your time. Nobody will take your place.